Well, if you've been blessed, say amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and be turning with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank you, Brother Adam, Miss Leanne, for that song, and Miss Rachel, thank you so much. 1 Peter chapter 5 in your Bibles, if you would please. Need a Bible, just hold your hand up high. We have Bibles for you to use this morning if you don't have one. And go with us to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you're using one of our Bibles this morning, you'll find it on page 1315. 1315, need a Bible, just hold your hand up high. We've got Bibles for you to use. Anybody else right up here, Brother Michael, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, page 1315. Anybody else need a Bible? Hold your hand up high. He'll get one to you. And, all right, very good. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 5 in the Bible. And, you know, it's a blessing to have air to breathe. They were singing about that in the song. For some of us have been struggling to breathe. That is a blessing to be able to have air to breathe. It's also a blessing to be able to breathe, okay? Now, I'm saying that for a reason. And if you ladies would really help your pastor out by really just toning down the perfume over the next couple of months, that would help me a lot. You know, I'm struggling here this morning to be able to breathe, and some of you came in and you wore some wonderful perfume, but it's killing me, all right? And so if you can just help me out on that, if you would please, I would appreciate that ever so much. And I know I know you're not trying to get rid of me by suffocating me, but you know, I'd appreciate to be able to have the ability to breathe. So it just sets me off when I get out of whack, which I am out of whack. Where's Nidalin? Thank you, Nidalin. Okay? And we're all thanking Nidalin for the sickness that went through the school, okay? It's and only because she got sick first, okay? It's not her fault, but, you know, we always point back to Nidalin and just tease her as a result of that. But once we get through this season, then everything will be fine. But right now, we're struggling a bit. And if you help us out on that, I would appreciate that. You expect to hear announcements like that when you come to church, don't you? And I was in the restroom before, in between services, and you should have heard the spiritual conversation that was taking place between a couple of our men. And it was over turkey and dressing. And and I won't go any further over that, okay? But anyhow, we're glad to be here this morning, glad to be back in our study of 1 Peter. We've been studying through the book of 1 Peter. We took a break from it last week because of Thanksgiving and gave a special Thanksgiving message. But this morning, we come back to our study of 1 Peter. We're going into a brand new chapter this morning. And as we go into this brand new chapter in 1 Peter, we're going to see the Apostle Peter addressing pastoral leadership and responsibility. Now, he's writing this to those that had the responsibility of leadership within some local churches. And he's giving some instruction that is very, 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 very important for the church to understand. Sometimes churches really don't have, let me just put it like this. Sometimes churches have unrealistic expectations of pastors. You know, he's someone who's always supposed to be able to read people's minds. You always know what's going on in a person's mind. And he's always supposed to be knowing what is going on, and he's on call 24/7, which is true. Pastor is on call 24/7, but he's always to be refreshed and never to look tired and always have a joyful spirit. Isn't that right, church? Yeah, that's right, see? And, you know, he's able to fix and solve everybody's problems. Actually, he's supposed to take care of them before they have problems. He's to grow the church. He's to make everyone happy. He's never to cross anyone's paths. He's to preach the truth, but to do it unoffensively. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. But, you know, we're going to look at the Bible and see what the pastor's role is all about. And let's look at some realistic expectations of what God expects from the role of the pastor. That's the passage of Scripture we're in here this morning. And while I say that, you know, sometimes the church can have unrealistic expectations of the pastor, sometimes pastors aren't exactly what they should be either, and we'll deal with some of that here this morning in the text as well. So if you're physically able to do so, let's stand for the reading of our text. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, Father, we come before you this morning, and what a joyful day it is to be back in your house after having time away, Lord, with family and friends for Thanksgiving. And Lord, our wonderful time last week with our church family in our church Thanksgiving gathering. We praise you. We thank you for that. And Lord, just for you, who you are, your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for your word and the fact that, Lord, you have established the church and you have given to the church gifted men, pastors. And we thank you for pastors that are faithful to the word of God. And as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, help us to learn about the role of the pastor, better understand what his responsibility is, biblically speaking. And Father, may we come away from here this morning having greater insight and understanding. And Lord, may we have a better heart to pray for our pastor. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I think if we could go back to the days when the Apostle Peter was writing this epistle, and remember, he was writing to believers who were scattered throughout Pontus, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, etc. So he's writing to a massive group of people that would have been involved in numbers of local churches, if you would please. And as he's writing to these people, he comes to chapter 5 and he specifically addresses the elders which are among you. Notice verse 1, he says, the elders which are where? Among you. Now, I believe that if we were living back in the days when this epistle was first written, we would realize that the local churches of those days were operating much differently than the churches operate today. For one thing, back in those days, the churches didn't have buildings to meet in. They did not have buildings to meet in. And, you know, many of them met in people's houses. We see that in the book of Philemon. We see it in 1 Corinthians. We see it in Colossians because it speaks about the church that meets in your house. Philemon had a church that was meeting in his house at Colossae. Aquila and Priscilla, two co-laborers of the Apostle Paul at Corinth, they had a church meeting in their house at Corinth. And we see that. Sometimes we see that they were just meeting out in the open. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find in Acts chapter 16, when Paul went to Philippi, outside the city, along a river, there was a group of women that were there praying. Now, they were not a church at that time, but really, Paul went out there and prayed with that group of people. And some of those people actually became part of the church that Paul would establish at Philippi. And in all likelihood, they continued going out someplace like that to have their church meetings. If you read early on in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, you know the early church at Jerusalem, the Bible indicates that they went down to the temple and met. They met at the temple and then also in people's houses. And so one thing that we would find much different than today is that the church didn't have buildings in which to come and to gather. Another huge different thing that we would realize would be the role of the pastoral leadership was much, much different back in those days than what it was in our days. Because here, as these churches are just getting established, notice, if you would please, he's writing to the elders that were what? Among them. When he talks about the elders that were among them, specifically, he's referring to the older men of the church who were serving in the realm of pastoral leadership. They were serving in the realm of spiritual oversight of these churches. They were men that would have manifested spiritual maturity. They were men who would be sound in their doctrine. They were men who were pure in their motives. But they were not men who had gone off to Bible college or seminary or Bible institutes. There was no such thing. There was no such thing in those days. Take your Bibles and hold your finger here and go with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. This will be on page 1169 if you're using one of our Bibles. And the book of Acts, Acts 14, hold your place in Peter, we'll come back there. But if you look in Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas had gone on their first missionary journey. Once they finished that journey, they decided to retrace their steps backwards and visit all the churches that they had gone to and had established. And in Acts chapter 14 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch," verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Now they're going back and they're retracing their steps. They're encouraging these young believers, if you would please. And in verse 23 it says, "And when they had ordained them," look at it now, "elders in every" what?
Church.
So older men in the church that had established some spiritual maturity in their lives, soundness in doctrine, were ordained to be the spiritual leaders, the overseers of the church, the pastors. The pastors of the early church had no formal training. They had no pastoral training as we know it today. And yet they were responsible to function in those roles. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And as we think about pastors functioning in their role, notice what Peter says in verse 1. He says in verse 1 in 1 Peter chapter 5, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." So he's exhorting all of those men who were in pastoral oversight of those churches. And he says, "I'm exhorting you,
Thank you. Thank you.
Chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is admonishing the elders there at Ephesus. He says, I want you to take heed in verse 28, once again, he says, I want you to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. And again, notice what the verse says, which he hath what? Purchased with his own what? Do you understand, my friend, if you're here this morning and you've put your faith in Christ, you are a very prized, precious possession to God. You are part of the church of Jesus Christ. He loves you ever so much, and he's looking forward to the day that you will spend eternity with him. Well, now his church is functioning in this world, and as his church is functioning in this world, he says to those who have been placed in responsibility of overseeing them, to help them, now you need to feed my people. My people need to be fed. And that's what coming to a church that opens the Bible and teaches people the Word of God is all about. It's about feeding people the Word of God. It's about giving out the Word of God so people can grow. You see, when we think about feeding the church of God, we think about, from a pastoral perspective, feeding the church of God perspective, feeding the church of God is helping God's people to get rooted and grounded in the faith. That's what it's about. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to the book of Colossians in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We may come back to Acts a little bit later on, but we'll get back there on our own. Colossians chapter 2, if you would please. Page 1263. You know, what is this idea of feeding the flock of God? It's opening the Word of God. It's preaching the Word of God. It's giving out the Word of God to the people of God in order that they can grow, that they can be fed in the things of God. And giving people the Word of God is about getting them rooted and grounded in Christ. Rooted and grounded in Christ. And that's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing to get people rooted and grounded in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, now we are to begin to do what? We're to begin to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we begin to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, notice what the next verse says. Verse 7 says, rooted in what? Built up in Him and established in the what? As ye have been, here it is, as ye have been what? Taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so part of feeding the church of God is helping people to get rooted and grounded in their faith. Part of feeding the church of God is helping people to grow in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:2, will not turn there, but the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may what? Grow thereby. You're not going to be a growing Christian if you don't have the Word of God. It takes the Word of God to be growing. So part of pastoral oversight of feeding the church of God is that we're concerned about helping people get rooted and grounded in the faith, established in their faith, know what they believe, why they believe what they believe. Learn the Word of God and see what the Word of God says and root it not in the pastor's opinion, but in the unchanging Word of God. What does God say? And to have our faith stand upon the Word of God. It's involved in getting people to grow in the Lord. We're not going to grow in the Lord without the Word of God. It's helping people to be protected from error. Why does the pastor feed the flock? To help be protected from error. You know, the greatest way to be protected from error is not to know all the error. It's to know the truth. Amen. It's to know the truth of the Word of God. That is the best protection you've got from error. And back in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, when those elders were being admonished to feed the church of God, in that passage of Scripture, it goes on to warn them about the fact that there's going to be false teachers out in the world, and there's also going to be false teachers within the church that are going to rise up to draw away disciples after themselves. And he was admonishing those elders, hey, you feed the church, you be faithful with the Word of God, you give the Word of God in order to protect the people of God. God's people need protection because there's wolves out in this world that like to swallow up the sheep. And then we also realize that in feeding the church of God, you know, it helps people to get proper guidance in life. Look over in Psalm 119, if you would, please. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Look, if you would, please, on over page 660, Psalm 119. Look what the Bible says here. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, the Bible says this. In Psalm 119 and 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my what? Feet, and a lamp unto my, or light unto my what? Path. So what does God's word do? Does it not give us direction to know what to do in life? You know, you get to a point where you say, I don't know what to do. Open the book. Yeah. And God's people, God's overseers are to feed the church. So the church will be rooted and grounded in their faith. They will be a growing church in the Lord. They will be protected from error. They'll have God's guidance to know what to do. You know, I hate to say this, but it appears that many in the church in America today have become bored with the preaching of the Word of God. I mean that sincerely. They have become bored with the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because they're flocking to churches that are entertaining them. I don't go to church to get entertained. If you come to this church to be entertained, you've come to the wrong church. This is not an entertaining church. This church is not about entertainment. That's why I don't really like it when somebody stands up and they sing a special and then people applaud afterwards. Well, that's what you do when you go to a concert. That's what you do when you're being entertained. I believe music in the church is to minister to people. I don't believe it's to entertain people. I believe it's to minister to our hearts. And I believe also it is an act of worship to the Lord, that we worship the Lord through our music and we minister others through our music. And I believe also that when somebody stands up to sing in the church, they need to be right with God. They need to have a right heart. I'm not getting up here to show. I'm not getting up here to show off my voice or anything else. I'm here ministering as unto the Lord. Well, I'm getting off focus, so I'll come back. But I want to say that the church is not for entertainment. God never ordained the church for entertainment. He ordained the church for the building up of the body of believers so that the church would be mobilized to go into this world and reach it for Jesus Christ. That's what the church is about. And so one of the primary roles of the pastor is not to entertain the church, he's to feed the church that's among you. And I've learned over the years that as I give out the Word of God and as I teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God, I've learned that the hungry get fed, the thirsty get satisfied, the obedient get helped, and the rest of the folks I can only pray for. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 5. The pastor's role is to feed the church of Jesus Christ. It is to feed the flock that is among you. And notice, if you would please, number two, not only is the pastor to feed the flock that is among you, but notice it says he's to take the what? The oversight thereof. He's to take the oversight thereof. Now listen, this is God's role for the pastor. He is to take the oversight of the church. People sometimes resent that aspect of the pastor's role because it involves leadership. And as it involves leadership, it involves trying to take people somewhere. And there are many in the church that are content to be the way they are. They're content not to grow. They're content not to change. They're content not to move. You know, their great theme song is, I will, and I will not be moved. Well, you know, there are certain things we don't want to move away from. Amen. We don't want to move away from the truth, the Word of God. We don't want to move away from the Word of God. We don't want to move away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, the Lord is in the ever-changing business of His people. Because growth, Christian growth, is changing. Isn't it? Becoming more like Jesus is changing. Isn't it? Me, he begins in two. You know, you come around our church very, very often. You realize where I'm trying to take the people in this church. I want people to know the Lord. I want people to love the Lord. I want people to be rooted and grounded in their faith so that they know what they believe and why they believe. I want people to serve the Lord. I just think it makes sense that if Jesus Christ loved us so much to transform us out of this and bring us into this, we ought to love Him enough to live for Him. Doesn't that make sense? That's our reasonable service according to Romans chapter 12. I want people to have a burden for lost souls. If we can't have a burden for lost souls and if we can't get people out mobilized and going and opening our mouths and making efforts to reach out to win people to Christ, we failed. We have failed. The Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave to the church right before He ascended up into heaven, He never rescinded it. It is still the Great Commission of the church. And I want people to be conforming to the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says, hey, listen, those who are committed to having pastoral oversight need to feed the church of God. They also need to take oversight of the church. And there needs to be a lot of oversight that takes place in the church, spiritual oversight. Why? Because we have an enemy who's always constantly attacking. We see that in this passage of Scripture. We'll just read it. We won't spend much time on it. But notice verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your friend the devil? No, you're what? Adversary of the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may be devour. So there is spiritual warfare. There is spiritual battle. There is the devil who would like to take us down. There are attacks that take place from without. There are attacks that take place from within, according to Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. There needs to be oversight that takes place in that. And, you know, the sheep have a tendency to stray and wander. All we like sheep, we've gone. We get saved and we still have a tendency to wander into what? To wander and stray. So there's need for pastoral oversight of the flock. There's need because the unruly need to be warned, the feeble-minded need to be comforted, and the weak need to be supported. That's the Bible. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look over there real quickly. We'll just take a look and come right back to 1 Peter. 1 Thessalonians, just over to your left. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1270. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at this if you would please. In verse 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are what? Unruly. So the unruly need to be warned. It says, comfort the what? Feeble-minded. So the feeble-minded need to be comforted. And it says, support the what? The weak. So the weak need to be supported. But then the Bible says, be patient toward all men, regardless of where they fall in that category. We're to be what? Patient. Serving the Lord must not strive, but be patient unto all men. So the pastor's role is to feed the church of God. The pastor's role is to take the oversight. Number three, the pastor's role is to be an example. Back in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So the pastor is to be an example to the people. An example to the people. You know, he isn't to preach what you're to do and not live it himself. Pastoral leadership is about being out in front of people and saying to them, come on. Come on. Follow me, even as I also follow Christ. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? See, it's not the, well, you know, the preacher, all he does is stand up and preach beyond the pulpit. He tells us what to do, but he doesn't do it himself. You know, I have no patience for that. The pastor, you cannot lead someone where you are not yourself. And the pastor's role is not to get behind people and push people. Stand here, Tashawn. And resist me a little bit, okay? Just resist me, okay? Come on, Tashawn, you need to grow in the Lord, man. Come on. I need to lift weights. Oh, come on, man. That's not what the pastor's supposed to be doing. He's not driving the flock. He's not, you know, he's to be leading the flock. He's to set the example. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. He's to set an example. And it's so important because look over, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Hold your finger right here in 1 Peter, just a few pages to your left. The book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13. We'll come back to 1 Peter 5. But look over in Hebrews real quickly. In Hebrews chapter 13, we'll look at two verses here. You did that very well, Tashawn. We could have done that better if we practiced, all right? Hebrews chapter 13, look if you would please in verse 5, or verse 7, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. And in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says this. It says, remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken to you the what? The word of God. Now look what the verse says. Whose faith what? Follow. Considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation there would be lifestyle. In other words, do you see them? Do you see them living by faith? You see them doing the things that they're telling you to do? Then follow their faith. Follow their example. And a little bit later on in verse 17 in this chapter, it says, obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? Because they're watching for your what? They're watching out for your spiritual good, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. I know I'm going quickly here this morning, and I know that we could spend time on each one of these things, but we're just getting the overview of the role of the pastor in the church, feed the flock of God. We're to be overseeing the church of Christ, and we're to be examples to the flock, if you would please. Now, coupled within those verses is also some motivation. The role of the pastor, feed the flock, oversee the flock, be an example to the flock. There's some motivation in here that sometimes pastors don't really live up to. And notice what it says in verse 2. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but what?
Willingly.
So first of all, we see that the pastor is to serve willingly and not by constraint. No man should ever be in the Lord's work who's not there of his own free will and choice, plus the calling of God. If a man desired the office of a bishop, the Bible says he desires a good thing. But make sure you have the calling of God upon your life. The Bible says the harvest is plenteous, the labors are few. And I believe that God would be in the business of calling a whole lot more people if a whole lot more people were willing to be called. Willing. The pastor is to serve willing, not by constraint. Notice what else it says. Not for filthy what? Now that brings an interesting subject up, doesn't it? Because people say, well, I go over to that church and all they do is talk about money. All they talk is talk about money. Money, 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 money. Money, 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 money. We don't come to church to talk about money. Every once in a while we'll teach on stewardship. Even our giving is an act of worship.
Amen.
It's not just something that, well, we gotta have this in here because, you know, we got to pay the light bills. That's an act of worship. The pastor is not to be in the ministry for what he gets out of it. He's not to be in it for filthy lucre. Now, I can say, after having pastored this church for 37 years, that whoever pastors this church, you don't have to worry about that. I'm just telling you, there's not an overabundance of money floating around at this church. Okay? I'm just telling you that. Okay? But there are mega, mega ministries where people have gotten themselves in real trouble, have they not? And they compromised this principle. We're not to be in the Lord's work for what we get. We're to be in the Lord's work for what we give. Jesus didn't come down to this earth for what he could get. He came down to this earth for what he could give.
Amen.
And he taught his disciples, guys, you need to be willing to put a towel around your waist and wash people's feet. And Jesus said, I am among you as one that serveth. And the pastor should be a servant. Now, having said that, the pastor should never serve for what he can get, for filthy lucre. Let me balance it out and say neither should the church take advantage of the pastor and not pay him a decent salary.
Amen.
Because the Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire. So let's balance it out. But then notice one other motivation, if you would please. In verse 3 it says, neither as being what?
Lords
over God's what?
Heritage.
So neither is the pastor to be a lord. He's not to be a dictator. He's not to be a dictator. You know, just demanding and telling others what to do. No. The Bible says no. No. Now verse 4 addresses the reward of the pastor. It does not address the reward of the church. It addresses the reward of the pastor. Verse 4 it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, if you elders have done these things well, notice what it says, ye shall receive a crown of what? Glory that fadeth not what? So there is a special reward for those pastors who do serve God's people faithfully. And while we understand about the abuses that are out in our world, let me say there are a whole lot more men of God who are not abusive to the church than those who are. And there are men that are serving in some very lonely locations. They're just being faithful. They're being faithful where they're at, with the Word of God, with the people of God, and they're content because God put them there. And one of these days, when the Lord comes back, when He appears, they're going to receive a crown of glory. May not be much glory in serving the church here, but there will be up there if you've been faithful. A crown of glory that never fades away. So that's the reward of the pastor. So here this morning, we're just thinking about, as we come back to 1 Peter chapter 5, just what the Bible says about those who've been committed oversight in the church, the pastor's role. You know, sometimes we make demands that go beyond this. But if he's feeding me, if he's overseeing me, he's been an example to me, he's doing what God says. And we need to make sure that we never put demands upon our pastors that does not enable them to do the primary task that God has given them to do. I would encourage you to pray for your pastor, because it is a big responsibility. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be someone here this morning that's never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. Now, I don't know. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But if just in case you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never said to God, God, I realize that I'm lost in sin, that my sin must be punished by death, and there's no way. I cannot escape that on my own. But I do believe you sent your Son Jesus to die for me. I believe he died and paid for my sin. I believe he was buried and rose again the third day. I've not trusted in him or put my faith in him to deliver me from the punishment of my death, my sin. But I do that here today. Would you do that this morning if you never have? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just quietly say to God, God, here this morning, I'm going to put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on that cross of Calvary to be my way to heaven. And if you're doing that here this morning, could I pray for you while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around? Would you just quietly, where you're sitting, slip your hand and slip it down so I could pray for you? If you're here this morning saying, Pastor, I'm putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like for you to pray for me. Just slip your hand and slip it down. For those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, what a joy it is to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to have pastors. And may we be faithful to pray for our pastors. And may we be faithful to follow the example of our pastors, to follow the faith of our pastors. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in the Word of God. May you use it to help our church better understand the role of the pastor. And Lord, I pray that the pastor, myself, would be faithful to that task. And I pray that the church would be faithful in following the example. And I will praise you and thank you as we get to serve you together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.